Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. Really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Now, those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Tuesday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. At Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia. Thank you for tuning in and hanging out with us. We appreciate all of you. It has been some time. But we are back, and we're going to discuss old news once again. And this is what happens when you wait around for new news, because there wasn't any. It's been about 2 weeks, and all we've got from our friends over at Noons and others is a bunch of filler. So we'll talk a little bit of football, very little bit of football, and some basketball. If you're like me, you're wondering where the hell is the basketball tournament news. And for whatever reason, I feel like rumblings in June is a normal thing, but I have not heard anything. So we'll talk about some of that stuff and get into a little bit of football first. So let's just kick it off, Joe. First of all, how have you been? I know how you've been, kind of.
I mean, I've been great, man. How about you?
You shaved your beard. Looks stupid.
No, you know, it's been pretty hot, and it always grows back, so.
It does grow. That's true. I've been good. Lacrosse for my oldest son went from 6 days a week to 1 day a week, so that helps.
Nice. Sean, how have you been?
How have I been?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Great. Busy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you, bud.
Extremely busy. Work is extremely busy. This whatever the construction boom, I don't know if everybody's feeling it, but we're feeling it down here. The construction boom for, you know, all things, I guess, started during COVID, just won't stop. So there's that. And then, you know, it's a busy time for the kids and everything. So it's fun though. You know, you could sit around and you could be bored and not have anything going on, or you could just be busy all the time and, you know, not be bored. There's always something going on, which is good. You know, sometimes you need a break though, which is, so why would I do what's called cluster vacations. I take Thursday, Friday, here and there, get 4 day weekends every other week for a little bit. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah,
very important. Yeah. Good for
I'm a big fan of the Friday Mondays, but you know,
right? Oh, you do the Friday Monday? Oh, as a boss, that's such a pain in the ass. My guys are not allowed to do a Friday Mondays, dude. You do Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday. No Friday Monday. But I get where you're coming from, though. I do.
No, you're not my boss, so.
Thank God. At one point, though, I was trying to get you here. Before you were really, really settled, I wanted you to come here because you'd have been good.
That's true.
You would have been good. All right. Anyways, look, Carlos Del Rio Wilson, the man with three or four names, something like that. Look, this is something that, you know, the Schrader haters are looking at. You know, well, this dude's going to start right. 4-star. Transferring from Florida. He redshirted in 2021. He didn't play at all. So he's got 4 years of eligibility. He was a notable Elite 11 showcase in 2020, and on the second day and third day of the event, he was the best performer. Ended up fifth best overall. Dude's got some talent. Hasn't thrown the rock really that much under the big lights, but an SEC school, no doubt, and a talent. But Joe, Justin Lamson, which we haven't talked about. Right? Or no, we did talk about that. It suffered a knee injury during practice, and it's going to require surgery. I have not heard by this point if he's had it or not, but it's going to require surgery. We don't know what the timeline for him looks like. But Del Rio Wilson, bro, is a true talent and is definitely going to be putting the fire under Garrett Schrader. But I, you know, for all of the buzz that it is, I don't know if the dude's just going to jump out on week one. And I definitely don't think that we're going to see the same situation we saw last year between DeVito and Schrader, where it's like real-time tryout stuff, right? So
yeah.
What do you think?
So I think a lot of times when these type of things happen, I think, you know, there's one side or another, right? You look at this guy, and if we would have got this guy coming out of high school, I mean, coming out of high school, according to 247 Sports, he was ranked 146th in the class. So we don't even get like top 500 players, you know? So this would have been a huge, huge get. Easily the best recruit, probably, I mean, in a very, very long time. Let's just put it that way. And there's some people that they see that and they're like, oh, he's going to take over Schrader because, like you said, the Schrader haters, right? But then there's the other fans that look and they're like, oh, 146, but he transferred because he didn't get to start. And maybe he's not as good as he says he was. I mean, you know, he played at the same high school in Georgia as Trevor Lawrence, and it's a storied high school. They have great play, great just coaches and program, and a lot of players go D1. So maybe it was his high school, you know, his high school players that that made his ranking, and then he got to Florida and he, you know, couldn't figure it out, right? Or he didn't get the starting spot. So, but I don't. That's really not the case at all. Again, you're probably gonna bang on me because I do listen to him, but Locked On had Carlos Del Rio Wilson's high school coach, and all he really did was talk about his character and his will to just to win, his competitiveness, and that he doesn't shy away from you know that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of people that I still don't think understand, you know, that last year he sat behind quarterback Emory Jones, who was pretty good, but they also had a different coach. You know, they fired the coach. They got a new coach in. So I really, truly believe that this is just a situation where the coach came in. They also had their incumbent quarterback come in from last year, and he played the spring, kind of saw where it was going to fall and felt like he didn't fit in, and he had to go find some place where he felt like he could actually just get a true shot in a system that kind of fit with his skill set to go in there and – you know, possibly start, but be possibly the quarterback of the future. And I think that's just...
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's really what it is. I don't see a situation where he misses the spring, comes in, and then just takes it away from Schrader. But this kid is talented. I've watched his tape. Everything that I've heard from everybody that's been around him is that he's a good kid on and off the field. You know, he serves his community. He does things like that, and he wants to be a leader on and off the field. So really, really a good get. It's just I think the Syracuse fans might have to wait 1 or 2 years before we really reap the benefits of this one. But
okay, but in fair, I think so. All right, I think so. I don't think he's going to start this year. You know, he redshirted, didn't play. You know, maybe he gets to see some action. Hopefully we get into some games, maybe early in the season, or hopefully even more hopeful later in the season, where he can get some burn, right? But Schrader's got, what, 2 years left? So
yep.
this is going to be, and with obviously with the Lamson injury, which has been kind of hush-hush, like we don't know really a ton what's going on there. Like I haven't seen anything. So
well,
I mean, I get it. I know, I get it. It's fine. But my point is I don't expect him this year. So with that said, you got
Schrader fan, the Schrader haters do.
Yeah. I know they do. Which is odd to me because it's always and I'm not bagging on anybody or anything like that, but it's just like it's not always the same group of people, but there's always a group of people who just cling on to the next new thing, right? So there was people who did the same thing when Schrader came in, and they're probably not the same people, but there's always just, you know, the loud voices, let's say, right? And the only interaction we really get is looking on social media, checking comments and stuff like that, right? So, and we both know as Twitter and Facebook aren't reality.
Right.
But you know, they write articles and stuff off of these things and stuff like that.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So they
see where the momentum is, what's trending, and then they go off of that, right? So, yeah, I mean, even if you look at Justin Lampson, I still can't see a situation where you can – I mean, it's a spring game, and he was playing with the first team, and he was going against the second team defense, right? Second
and you
team,
wouldn't
secondary.
Think he was
going
to start, right? But there was
– There was a lot of people that said he had a chance, right? Like after that, so – Then he gets hurt, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it was super smart. I know that we heard rumblings of possibly, you know, chance of me coming back, which, by the way, he committed to Grambling State today. But we knew he wasn't going to come back, especially once we got Carlos Del Rio Wilson. I mean, I think the biggest thing is a surprise that we just never heard his name really once. Really, I didn't see any type of hear any podcast or see any story that mentioned his name as a possibility, and. Again, I think it's just a really, really big get, and he gives us a backup, you know, a legitimate backup. I mean, this guy was way more highly recruited than Justin Lamson, and yeah, I mean, you give him time, you know. I just think he's going to be better than Dan Villari. I think he's going to be better than Jacobian Morgan.
Well, Jacobian Morgan was put into a bad spot last year, but he did not take advantage of the opportunity he was given. Well, I think he came in halfway through one game, ended up getting pretty beat up, and then the second game, and I can't remember who it was. I shouldn't even have mentioned it, but he was awful. Never played again. We never saw him again.
Well, yeah, and when you look at just even going back to Schaefer years and Dungy and everything, and you look at our backups, I mean Mahoney. Right, Rex Culpepper.
That was that year.
There was another JUCO guy that played a little bit, right? And then like Jacobian Morgan played a little bit, and it's like, I mean, Jacobian Morgan was brought in like, I feel like is you know made possible you know late in the recruiting. He had a scholarship, maybe a diamond in the rough. He can come in, maybe develop, and after a couple of years, he could be rated. You know. He just could be way better, you know. And right now, it's kind of looking like he's gonna probably end up transferring. And then that's kind of the way that those diamonds in the roughs kind of, you know, he goes to D1 and he's gonna get a little bit better. There's gonna be better development, better coaches, and stuff like that. But does he ever crack the 2 deep, you know? And is it ever really serious enough to stay? So I do see a transfer in his future. But. You know, as far as this Del Rio Wilson, I mean, the guy's strong. not as fast as Schrader, so they don't have exactly the same game. But it's really good now when you look at our quarterback room and our quarterback situation, especially having a quarterback coach and an offensive coordinator coming in new. I just have full confidence that this coaching staff can get him ready. And I mean, I know, again, there's going to be Schrader hitters, but I mean, I was perfectly fine with what Schrader did last year. I talked to my father, same thing. I think you, same thing. And I also think that, you know, and we've brought it up, and I've heard Mike McAllister talk about it, and I'm going to bring it up again, but, you know, after that Virginia Tech game when he threw that touchdown pass, that the game-winning touchdown pass, just seemed like he was off. And we said that.
It was the ribs. Yeah, we said that.
We said that during the season last year, and it just seemed like something was off. But he's still stuck in there, and he you know, gutted it out. So, I mean, that's not going to be a situation, I feel like, where they're not going to play, you know, they're not going to play two quarterbacks. And I feel like it is Schrader's job to lose. But at the same time, we are in a situation where if he does play bad enough, or if, you know, knock on wood, he gets hurt, then at least we have somebody capable versus what we've had in the past, really. So that's really the one thing that I'm looking forward to. And to be perfectly honest with you, too, looking at their type of play, I mean, Schrader, he's fast. And if you remember when he came from Mississippi State, right, like the new coach came in its second year and turned him into a receiver.
Yeah.
So who's to say that, I mean, in the other, Del Rio Wilson's not as fast, but athletic, shifty. Who's to say you can't line up a couple different, you know, trick plays with both quarterbacks out there, right?
Yeah.
There's things like that that you might be able to do. So you never know, but I just don't see a way that, unless Schrader completely just implodes and regresses versus, you know, gets better than at all, then I just don't see a way where he is the starter. But the future's bright because this guy, I mean, this is...
Oh, it's padding that we haven't had. We haven't had like a really decent backup quarterback in how long? I mean, it's been quite some time. And this dude's got, I mean, he's got 4 years left in a future. By the way, Jacoby Morgan, real quick, I looked it up. He had a decent game against Boston College. It was 19 for 30 for 188, one TD and one interception. But then he played the next game against Louisville. Started it, went 5 for 12 for 40 yards and an interception, ended up putting Culpepper in, and that was it.
The thing is you get a team that doesn't know you, you come in, 18 for, he was, he had good percentage, but that's nickel and dime in it.
Right.
You're talking about 18 for 108, I mean, come on.
The playbook was limited, obviously, during that circumstance.
And then the next week they knew what he could do, and just 30, didn't let him
30
do it,
to nothing.
Right,
we so. never even scored against Louisville.
Again, I mean, I believe he's our highest rated as far as stars and rankings in, you know, the top 300 quarterback that we've had in a very, very long time. Could be ever as far as within the era of the star rankings.
Yeah, and when I talk about Schrader haters or you know, say I don't think he's going to start, you know, doesn't mean I don't think that this dude's got a shot at. I mean, it's possible that Schrader could get bumped. I'm just saying that it wouldn't be at the I wouldn't expect it at the beginning of the year, and I wouldn't expect live tryouts. Because Coach Babers wants to keep his job, right? So it's going to come down. Look, say Schrader plays a whole year, we never even see Del Rio Wilson. Then, you know, you've got a whole season of watching and practicing under your belt. And now the heat's on for Schrader. And we all know Schrader was a little bit tough with it, with his passes, right? I mean, that's fair to say, right? Okay.
I'm just saying. I mean, there was sometimes when he had some passes that were great, you know, and he connected on a bunch of good, deep, long ones.
And Tommy DeVito was what? A 4-star, right? I mean, the dude also struggled. So it's just a lot of it's the environment you're put in. A lot of it is, personal motivation, and we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I mean, there's no secret that Del Rio Wilson has the stronger arm, especially in short to intermediate routes, for sure. And it could just be overall. But the way that the coaches are going to have to look at it is basically, you know, look at the stats that Schrader had last year on the ground as far as rushing and touchdowns. Is Del Rio Wilson that much better at passing? You know, is the gap between him and Schrader that much greater that they're going to kind of just completely take away Schrader's running?
Does Schrader not even improve on the areas that he needed to improve on? Is he just going to stay stagnant? I would find that hard to believe.
Right, but I mean, dude, he had a very successful year on the ground.
He did. He absolutely did.
And the read option worked with a running back like Sean Tucker, and the way that Schrader runs, like, I mean, you can get away with that. You can get away with that, you know. Yeah. And I think that there was a bunch of times last year we talked about him possibly having an injury, but I think pretty much the combination of pass blocking on our line and our receivers and our play calling, I think, didn't help him either. So, you know, just by default of our line, most of our line coming back, and I think our receiver room got better and more experienced, and I think our play calling got a whole heck of a lot better on top of having his own quarterback coach. I don't see a way where Schrader doesn't come in and improve in that area.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I don't see how that's possible either. So let's all just keep our powder dry. At least I'm going to. I'm gonna go with what I feel is obvious. So,
but to have these two capable quarterbacks in the room,
it's amazing.
Outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, just haven't had that kind of depth. And you know, this guy's transferred in, and I'm hoping they make this thing a whole lot more difficult to transfer back out. I mean, there should be some kind of, from what I understood, how this was going to work is that you can transfer in and play right away, but it was a one-time transfer thing, right? So, I mean, look, he's found a home. He's in Syracuse. That's how I look at it right now. I mean,
there's a loophole.
There's always a fucking loophole. Always.
Yeah.
Because they've destroyed this thing.
Because if you are a graduate senior, then you get to automatically do it as well. So if you're younger,
understandable, but that's not necessarily a bad thing at all.
No, it's not. But when you add this to it, so now you have a freshman or a sophomore, a junior that can do it once, and then they can end up getting their, you know, get to 4 or 5 years, graduate, and then they have that one extra year where they can do it again.
Right.
Not awful, but I mean, again, he just did it. So if that's the case, He's stuck here for another 3 years before he can do it again. So.
Exactly. All right, moving on to excited. Do I wish there was more news? Do I wish there was more, even a press conference? Golly, I've never sat here and wished for a press conference like this in my entire life. I'd pull some clips and talk and find something to talk about. But anyway,
I get it.
It's a lot of fun to listen to a press conference and try to read between the lines on, especially with Dino Babers, you know? Monir Himmah. Okay. Duquesne transfer center. We needed a center. Last time we talked, we were in rough shape. Behind Jesse Edwards, there wasn't much, right? We talk about Peter Carey. We've got him with, you know, he hasn't been on the court much, had this knee surgery. I don't know what the condition is, and I guess we'll see, but we needed somebody to plug and play. So this is our guy. Duquesne transfer, a.k.a. Duquesne. I mean, how do you get Duquesne out of that? Is it in this country?
Of course it is.
Okay. Anyways, Monir Himmah, center, 6'11". He announced on Twitter, and he's a redshirt freshman as well. So he's got 3 years of eligibility. And
it's in Pittsburgh, by the way.
Okay. Who cares? He played about 10 minutes a game, averaged 1.9 points, 2.8 rebounds, one block a game. He's 240, as I mentioned, 6'11", 240. That's a pretty good size, and I like he. So, you know, only getting 10 minutes, and with those numbers, doesn't seem, I'm just going to play this side of it right now, doesn't seem very impressive to me, but I will say, actually, it's not terrible. It's not terrible, but he's going to probably need to be playing in the 12 to 15 minute range, I would guess, judging by what Jesse Edwards, his foul trouble was last year, right? So a good size, though, Joe, and someone to plug in if we need to, and I believe he's already getting into the system. Am I correct? Did you see that? Where did I see that?
Yeah, he's already here.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's excellent. Obviously, we're looking towards, you know, with being in on the court in the next couple months and starting up in November for real, for real. So, that's good. He's going to get some time to acclimate himself with the guys and with coaches.
Yeah. So, just... Here, fun fact. It's in Pittsburgh. Do you know what their nickname is?
The Duquesne Panthers.
It is the Duquesne Dukes.
Oh, which nice. Probably makes, okay.
Which probably right. makes you like them even more.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, so this one is tough to look at because when you look at their team, he only had 10 minutes, and their starting center last year, as far as Duquesne goes, when he was there. Was a 6'7" guy, but he scored double digits. He scored double digits, and Duquesne ended up going 6-24. So they were literally dead last in the A-10. They only won one conference game, and that might have been a lot about just the fact that they needed people that could score a little better and more efficiently on the floor. But we did talk about this.
Is he a Stonehands? Is he a Chukwu? Is he a Stonehands guy?
I haven't been able to delve that deep because I mean that would be just a painful investigation, I feel like. But just it's a situation where we talked last time when we lost Ballard that you know, transfers know that Jesse Edwards is going to start. He's going to be here at least this year, if not next year as well. So centers that are trying to transfer aren't going to come to Syracuse. It's just not going to happen. So we knew we were going to end up getting stuck with a guy like this. So the positive is that I would rather have him than rely on Peter Carey or possibly a undersized Marquise Brown to fill in center position when Jesse Edwards isn't there.
Malik Brown.
Messed that up.
You're good. That's your guy too, by the way.
I know, but I was thinking football. You know, NFL okay. draft just went through. Marquise okay. Brown, Hollywood Brown got traded. Gotcha. Anyway, so as far as a backup, I mean, you never really know. You don't know what defense they ran. Maybe our guy, you know, maybe our coaches looked at some film and said maybe, you know, with his size and everything. I mean, let's be honest, right? Jesse Edwards doesn't get in foul trouble. How many minutes a game is he playing?
40.
35 to 40, right? So he's not even going to average – 10 as long as Jesse Edwards stays healthy and stays out of foul trouble, he's not even going to average 5 minutes anyway, right?
I think he's a 12 to 15 minute guy. I do. I understand where you're coming from. I just don't see Jesse Edwards not getting in foul trouble. I guess that's
I see that, right? Okay. Overall, right? I guess I'm looking at it as like, you know, the way that the coaches would rather have it versus probably what reality is going to be. I mean, obviously, there's going to be some games when he gets in foul trouble, and we're going to rely on this guy. But that's what I mean is you get a guy – I mean, maybe they were just purely looking for, all right, we just need 10 minutes a game and some guy that can come in here and just play the zone. Just get rebounds.
Rebounds. Rebounds.
Make the other team take tough shots, right? Yeah. I don't even care if you get – 4 fouls in 10 minutes, right? Like, you just want somebody in there to clog the middle. And, you know, maybe his skill set and with a little bit of coaching, he can be that guy. Now, I'm not going to say that it's going to be pretty, and I wouldn't expect any scoring whatsoever. I don't know what his hands look like. I don't know what his footwork looks like. I don't like any of this. Because at the end of the day, I say all this and we get this big body, and it still could be to the point, well, guess what? Malik Brown's the best guy anyway, and we don't even see this guy. And that could be true, but we always knew that this was the type of guy that we were going to end up getting. And sadly it's unfortunate because we're in this position because we have a good center, right? we're in this position because we don't have a center that's average, and maybe this might be a senior year, so this guy can come in and definitely start next year, right? Because then we might have better looks by more talented players, or at least players that got, you know, a little bit more experience and a little bit more proof of what they can do on the court. But getting this guy in, big body, you know, we'll see what happens. We had a scholarship. I think we used it in the right area. And, I mean, all we can really do is wait and see. But I...
All in all, it's looking up. I mean, everything's looking up, I feel like. After the worst... This is the worst trifecta year in my... Ever. It's not just my lifetime. Let's be honest. So we look at the football, the basketball, and the lacrosse. All had losing seasons. I mean, it's never happened before. So it's the absolute worst season for the Big Three, as they call it, ever. And I feel like things are only looking up for each. And Babers is literally playing for his job. And you've got Coach, he's got some redeeming to do, right? And then, of course, with Gary Gate, everybody expected a little bit more. And some players left and things, and he's starting to rebuild. That got the number one recruit in the country coming into play. So, I think things are looking up.
He's another option, right? Like, I mean, I guess instead of looking at like his name and where he came from and all that stuff and his stats, like, you just got to look at the fact that if we don't get this guy, then our only option after Jesse Edwards are two incoming freshmen, one of which is most likely a power forward size, and the other one, Peter Carey, hasn't played in over 2 years because of injury and because of COVID.
Yeah, so I mean, everybody that's talking Peter Carey as the savior for the center position, I would just pump my brakes because we have no idea, right?
And he could be.
He could be, but we don't have any idea. Like you said, it's been 2 years. It's a surgery. He hasn't been on the knee, on the court since surgery. We don't know what's going on. And although he's a talented guy, and I think it's a good get, we might not see this dude at all this year. I mean,
right.
And I could be totally wrong about that, too.
No, but think about it. Think about the logic, though. Take away any tape, take away names, take away any of that stuff, okay? You get one choice, all right? You can get a sophomore transfer from a guy from a school that was in the A-10, which is not the worst. A-10, normally, I think they got 5 or 6 teams in the tournament this past year. They usually get 4 to 6 in the tournament. Not the worst. It's a mid-major, but not the worst conference whatsoever. So you can get this sophomore that just played a season in a pretty high level of D1 basketball, or you can get this freshman that hasn't played since his summer of sophomore year. Who are you going to pick? Oh, that's high school, sophomore year of high school.
Yeah, guys, that's high school, right? Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So that's, you got to look at now. Does that mean anything? Absolutely not, because he could be perfectly healthy, and he could have a personal trainer. He could have been lifting all this stuff. We don't know. But all I'm saying is
real life application is being on the court, though. Right, and there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And at the end of the day, three options is better than two.
Absolutely, yeah. So exactly. There's no harm, no foul. You got the guys, and it's obviously, if you're a coach, you play guys based on merit. I know some of you don't think that Jim Boeheim does that, but I mean, if he wants to win, he will. So, okay, so. Shaping up. By the way, there's a couple. I mentioned lacrosse real quick. Cole Kirst, he's an attack from Lehigh. He's got 1 year of eligibility left. Going to try to give that team a boost. Alex Simmons, I forget which position he plays, but another transfer coming in. And forgive me, but the lacrosse team. It's always the lacrosse team that's supposed to bring us up after a year of football and basketball like that, right? And Syracuse lacrosse was just embarrassing by Syracuse lacrosse standards, by their own standards. So it was a dump in the pants this past year. And I feel like it's got to get better. And, you know, you put the pieces in and see what you can do with some transfers until you can get some other recruits. What is it? Jason Spinola, is that his name? I believe. Number one recruit in the country coming in as an attack. And so that's going to be awesome stuff, I think. And it should be really fun to watch next year. The TBT, Joe. Look, I haven't heard anything about the TBT. This isn't a long conversation to have. But Syracuse does have a...
That's Joey Spallina.
Joey Spallina. Not, what did I say?
Jason
Spallina. I think I said Spallina. Did I? Please, I hope I did. I hope I at least got one of his names right.
I don't know.
All right, Joey Spallina, yes.
I'll give you a pass.
Okay, I appreciate it. You're the only one. Look, Syracuse has got that. What is the SRC Arena? Excuse me, but I have no idea. So I looked this up today, and Syracuse is going to be the city. Syracuse is going to be hosting a TBT game, July, a regional, actually. July 22nd through the 25th at SRC Arena. Joe, help me out. What the hell is SRC Arena? I thought we did OCC or something like that. That's not the same thing, is it?
I think it is. Oh, okay. They built a bigger arena, a new arena on the OCC campus. So I'm pretty sure, yes, Onondaga Community, yes, SCA, yep.
Okay, all right, so it is an OCC.
That's where they had it last year, too. I gotcha.
Okay, yep. Exactly. So it's the same place. It's just renamed or whatever, just like the Dome, which we'll still call... The dome, because it's the dome. By the way,
exactly.
You can call it the Burn Dairy Dome. I'm still going to call it the Dome.
Yes.
So, anyway, no news on the basketball tournament front. I'm a little bit disappointed in that because if you listen to the show for any amount of time, that produces more content, and we love coming here and talking about the TBT. And as you know, it's the reigning champions. From last year, love to talk some TBT and see what they come up with this year. I don't foresee our boy Eric Devendorf on the court. See him more as a sideline guy, but I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I haven't heard anything, but you know, he wanted to win the damn thing. He goes out on top, wins the damn thing. He didn't play a ton. He
knew his role.
He knew his role, and his role was recruiting, and his role was a little bit of coaching and recruiting, a lot of recruiting, a little bit of coaching, and they won the damn thing. And we knew that it was the year to do it, right? Just a fantastic.
They were, right?
Yeah, just a fantastic.
It's going to be interesting, right? So it's June 7th today, and it starts July 16th. So you know the stories are going to be coming out here very, very shortly. I'm pretty sure that the application and all that stuff is open. Obviously that's going to be our region. We're going to have, you know, at least, what, one or two home games there?
Looks like three if they can pull it off. 22nd to the 25th? Maybe not. Maybe it's two. It's 3 days. It's 3 days of games there.
But, yeah, no, we're going to see him coming through, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see because I think that last year, well, you know, plus with coming out of COVID, and then I know that we had some, you know, players that were, like, still kind of back and forth in between. Am I in the NBA? Am I not in the NBA? That kind of stuff. And,
You got to be 1 year separated, right?
I don't even think you have to be 1 year separated. I just think it's a situation where
you just can't be enrolled. You can't be on a team.
You can't be on contract for the NBA. Right. Other than that, you know, and in other years we've had Trish and we've had other players like that, but, you know, they brought in the Kiefer Sykes and they brought in, you know, the Tyrese Rice, you know, they brought in some good players and now, you know, they're orange for life and are they going to stay? Are they going to be, you know, but are they going to be
it's going to be the new overseas elite.
Yeah, but Kiefer Sykes, he got an
NBA contract.
He got an NBA contract off of this last year. Yeah. I mean, he was playing G League all year.
That's a recruiting tool, man.
Yeah, 100% it's a recruiting tool. And on top of that, we just won it. So is that going to bring more attention to some of these other players that might want to play in it? You know, I mean, honestly, I mean,
I'm just waiting for the day when Carmelo Anthony's
that's
like
exactly what I was just going to say, bro.
I mean, feel like he gave us one great year. Okay, come back and give us one more, and I don't give a shit. Let it be the TBT. Tournament. Yes, please give us one more.
I mean, obviously,
and he doesn't owe us anything, right? He doesn't owe us anything, right?
God, he's got an NBA Hall of Fame career. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
And he's got the 2003 championship, which I'm going to stop celebrating because we're approaching 20 years. Look.
Stop it.
It's look.
Stop it.
Come on. Stop give me it. Something else. Okay? Bro, I can't do this. First of all, it makes me feel old. I don't care. First of all, it makes me feel old.
My girlfriend's 95 years old, and he's only seen one. Okay? So I think we can hold on to it a little bit longer.
20 years, bro. 20 years. Okay?
Yeah, well, imagine 60 years prior before that. Nothing.
It would suck. By the way.
Yeah.
The Syracuse Nationals have won some championships, right? Does that count?
No.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, I'm sure it does, actually, yeah.
No, it does in the history books, bro, actually.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. But anyway, you know, modern era here, we're talking. Look, I'm just saying I want something else. That's all. But back to what the hell we were talking about. Carmelo Anthony will play in the TBT eventually. You know,
I hope.
You know he will, dude.
Dude.
You know he will.
For Boeheim's Army. Well, in my head, I'm like, okay, like he could handle this, right? Like, I mean, he takes such good care of his body anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he hasn't aged a bit, that dude.
But then at the other end, I look at some of these guys that do, like, have you ever seen that, like, 3-on-3 league, Ice Cube's league, that they play for money, and it's like all the older, old-timer NBA players? They don't go and play in the TBT. They play in that league, right? Because I feel like some people look at the TBT as a step down. Oh, you're just going to play all these guys from overseas.
I understand that, but you got to. I think he has a different mentality. I don't think there's other. So when you look at the TBT and you look at the teams, there has to be. What other teams? I'm trying to word this correctly. How many other teams have the family roots of a Boeheim's Army? Like that thing was based on alumni for years and years and years, right? Until the past couple, and not years and years and years. It's only been going on for so long, but since the past couple, and they started adding some people in. It's not. I don't think it's about the money to him or the fame or anything like that. It's going to be about going back in and being able to put orange back on and go out there and play under the Boeheim's Army banner and try to win another championship. That's all it's about.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he's the Mellow Center.
Right.
He's always came back and given to the community. He's done, you know, things with Jim Boeheim, you know, as far as fundraising and stuff like that. So, yes, absolutely. I would like to think that that's something that he would do. And it would be awesome if he did it.
It would be cool. Just don't know when it's going to happen. But as TBT news comes in, I will be making notes. We will be planning shows and we will talk about it because the good Lord knows that will give us content.
No, and you know what?
That does not exist right now.
And we might have to, you know, give a decent preview. You know, I mean, look, we're coming out as, you know, we won last year. So
we're the champs, bro.
It's kind of a bigger deal.
It's a bigger deal this year.
Coming for us.
You're holding the belt and everybody wants it. And so you have a target on your back. So you got to build something that's bigger and better, and it's not going to be easy. And what a fantastic tournament it was last year, not just because but the games that they won were amazing.
They've had some in the past, but still, going and winning, they've had some great comebacks and stuff.
They absolutely have.
The way that whole tournament culminated last year was just...
It gives me chills talking about it, dude. Awesome,
I mean, we might owe them at least, you know, our side of the bracket preview, you know, or at least our region preview, you know, look at some of the teams that
we can play around with it. And the problem is you know me, I'm not an NBA guy, so it's tough if I don't remember you from college.
Well, good, because these guys don't play in the NBA, so
well okay, some of them did. All right, look, ACC Big Ten Challenge, Joe, let's make this quick. This has not been set yet. Now look, there's a lot of options here. And I'm just curious to what you think is going to be, you know, as a non-conference game, where's the happy medium between playing a good team but being able to pull off a win in the Big Ten?
The problem is always going to be the name and the recognition, because it's a situation where, you know, you'd like to think that they would do it by, like, the standings from the previous season and then just have the ones play the ones, twos play the twos. But no, you know, they look at the ratings. They look
Minnesota.
At the rosters coming back, all that kind of stuff, right? So that's why we end up playing the Indianas and the Iowas and those kind of, you know, teams like that. Is I don't think we're ever going to get one of, you know, I don't think we're ever going to get a Penn State in basketball. You know,
it doesn't, you know, make, we'll, I don't think it makes a lot of sense in basketball anyway.
Well, we'll schedule it 6 years down the road in football.
Yeah, don't get me started.
This stuff, like,
yeah,
they're never, you know, because Syracuse is a big name, so they're looking for the, you know, and so we're going to get a big name team, you know, and those are some of the teams that they've been, you know, it's been the Indianas and the Iowas and just teams like that.
Ohio State, I think, 1 year, right?
Iowa State's in the Big Ten, but that's okay.
Ohio State.
Iowa State's in the Big Ten, or the Big 12, sorry. They're not in the Big Ten. Iowa.
Ohio State we played, yes.
I'm pretty sure you said Ohio State.
No, you need to go back and listen. Ohio. I said it.
I think you
can, three times.
All right.
Iowa is in the Big Ten. Iowa.
Yes. Hawks.
I'm saying we played Ohio State in a big ACC Big Ten challenge before.
Yeah, not Iowa State. Ohio State.
Correct. I never said Iowa State.
Oh, okay. Well,
go back and listen.
Let's go back to the
My gosh. I'm starting. I quit.
No, stop it. We're not even getting paid for this.
I know. What's up with that? We won't get paid anymore for this?
I don't know.
Zach. Zach's in the green room. Zach, what did I say? Type it in. Zach. our boy from Facebook, Zach.
I mean, it's tough to speculate, but I know that they're always going to put, you know, at least one of the, whether the team's good or not, or whether we're good or not, we're a big name, so they're going to give us a big name. It's usually how it goes.
Well, so. And I'm fine with the big name, but, you know, you got, so who finished at the top? Illinois, Wisconsin, Purdue?
I think we played Wisconsin too, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, they're always going to give us one of those upper echelon.
So, what if, I mean, teams. A Rutgers would be good. That would be fun, right?
Yeah.
Michigan State would be fun, I feel like. You know, these are middle of the pack kind of teams from last year.
No, I mean, the Big Ten were, you know, according to.
I know, but we all watch the same tournament. You know, we all watch the same tournament. Yeah.
They were a better conference than us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah. The ACC, so. and you know, hats off to those guys, UNC especially, obviously. But
UNC and Miami.
Miami. We knew who Miami was. Just a tremendous comeback team as far as comeback teams go. Miami was one of the best last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, they held their own. And of course Duke, but no one predicted much less. Well, yeah, no one predicted much less than what they finished. So, all right. So answer the damn question, bro. So we can move on. Who do you want to see? Based upon you know, net rankings, obviously, in non-conference play, but still being able to pull this thing off and not just padding the resume with a quad one team or something stupid like that. Like, I want to win. So you want to look at like a quad two type game, which, you know, is Indiana going off of last year. And I don't know what the hell they got coming in this year, but in Indiana, Michigan State, probably Rutgers, Northwestern.
We played Indiana last year, right? So
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just to switch it up, I mean, I would be okay in your aspect if you're asking me to do that, because, you know, me, I want to be like, give us Purdue, right? But I think that for this team that early in a non-conference, I think a team like a Rutgers or a Maryland, I think would be one of those kind of teams where, you know, not going to hurt us. Not overly going to help us if we beat them, but, you know, if they beat us, not going to hurt us, not going to kill us.
Yeah, unless you want to go. I kind of agree with that. I was leaning more towards a Michigan State, though, kind of like I said earlier.
The problem with Michigan State is that normally they get the Dukes and North Carolinas of the world because they are looked at as like the name, upper, you know, echelon, Michigan State, those kind of guys, right? Yeah. Oh, we got the Ohio State the 1 year, so you never know. And you'd like to think that they kind of rotated out. That's why I wanted to pick kind of another team. And I know that Rutgers has kind of been up as well the last couple of years too. So I can see a situation with – I mean, I'm cool with a Rutgers-Maryland. I want to see something different though.
Yeah, I would say I'll go with you on Rutgers. I'll take Rutgers or Michigan State. I feel like those would be two good ones. So we'll see what happens there. So James, our buddy. I talked to James last week, end of last week. See how he's doing. He's hanging in there. He had an article out at Noons. Is Syracuse versus Georgetown still worthwhile? You can go check it out at Noons. Magician.com. And who's fighting, Joe?
No, you know, they're just in there.
So
it's just boys. It's just boys being boys,
man. Oh yeah. He said he's got this. Is Syracuse versus Georgetown still worthwhile? And the only reason I'm bringing this up right now is because you and I have talked about this. And while I think it's fun, obviously the rivalry aspect of this, despite the fact that you still have Jim Boeheim coaching with a Patrick Ewing coaching, who Jim Boeheim coached against when Ewing was a player, obviously. Even though you still have that aspect, this rivalry, and since Syracuse has left the Big East, they're like 3-4 or something like that, by the way. So it's not great, right? And we all remember last year when Syracuse really should have mopped the floor with Georgetown when you look at it, but when you look at it at the end of the year, maybe. But it just did not happen, and that's how things go in sports. But is it still worthwhile? And I'll give you my opinion. I still think it's fun to do. I do. I think it's fun to do. There are people who are a little bit younger than us, Joe, that do not even remember this as a rivalry, period. It was never really a thing to them. They couldn't give two craps about it. We're that far removed from this thing. And it is time to kind of find something else. But it's just difficult coming into the ACC in 2014. We're only looking at, we're looking at 8 years, right? We're going into the eighth year of this thing. And they still don't have a defined rivalry. You know, people like to try to make it Duke, but Duke can have a side rivalry with Syracuse, but their rivalry is UNC, right? So, I mean, you know, people like to beat Duke, so they're everybody's rivalry, but I just don't see another one boiling up. So this is still fun to me, but is it the same? Hell no. It's not even close. I try to pretend like it's close. I try to pretend like it's, you know, rivalry week for Syracuse against Georgetown, and it's just not the same. It just doesn't feel the same. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right, because, I mean, we remember, and, you know, you can look back and you can watch, you know, the Requiem for, you know, the Big East, you know, the 30 for 30, all that stuff. You know, you can get all the history of it. The history is amazing. The history of the Big East, the history of all those teams, awesome. You know, all those rivalries that all those teams had, the way they played, the way it helped, you know, they both, you know, the Big East and ESPN helped each other to rise to, you know, to the upper echelon of, you know, sports and, you know, the sports that they were in as far as college basketball, but it's just you leave like that, and especially they're so down. I mean, what's
That's the other thing. It's like Georgetown's not even that good, and we're losing to them, which sucks.
Right. Terrible. And I guess that's my thing is that I think instead of just focusing on one team, right? Like if you look down the line of like the new Big East, right? I mean, you have Butler and Creighton and Xavier, you know, they added it, right? So, I mean, again, this new Big East, they're a competitive league.
It's a decent league.
It's a decent league, right? But even looking at some of the older teams, when you look at
Seton Hall.
DePaul and Marquette.
Oh, okay.
We played against DePaul and Marquette when we were in the Big East before we left, but they weren't always there, right? I mean, I remember playing against Dwayne Wade, having some tough games against them.
Yeah, they were adding in, right?
What's that? Yeah, they were near the end when all those other, you know, when the Boston Colleges and Virginia Techs and all them left to go to the ACC before us. They added these other teams, right? Now, like, and even South Florida back in the day, but they left too.
That was so, very, that was very,
that was a, all towards
it,
the end, right?
It was an entrance exit.
Right.
For South Florida.
But me personally, what I would want to see is I would like to see kind of a rolling, don't just make it one or whatever team, but I mean, I'd like to see you have one Big East non-conference game a year, and you rotate it between Georgetown and Providence and Seton Hall and St. John's and UConn and Villanova. Maybe you have two, you know, because there's been times in the history where us and Villanova, I mean, Villanova is very storied. UConn, St. John's, Seton Hall, there's always been times. I remember with Terry DeHare with Seton Hall. You know, St. John's, UConn, Khalid El Amin. Like, I mean, there's always been a time when one of those six teams has been really, really good. And I feel like, you know, whether it's one game or whether it's two games, I think we roll it. Just make sure that you always kind of give an ode to the old Big East and play one of them.
Right.
You know? But, and but we I don't still think have... it should be.
Go on.
Well, and we've played UConn and we've played Villanova. We played Villanova and Georgetown this past year. And the year before, I think we played Georgetown in
well, you've played Georgetown. UConn. This will be, if I'm not mistaken, this will be the fourth year in a row we've played Georgetown. And if we win this one, I think we've gone 2-2. But
right, and I know we played St. John's a couple years ago too. The year that Mike Hopkins had to coach when Jim Boeheim had to sit out. I think it was Keen Christmas this last year.
Yeah,
but I don't remember the last time we played Providence and Seton Hall.
Those would be good games.
So, I mean, yeah. So I think that, you know, whether it's one or whether it's two, you know, just give your ode to the old Big East and just kind of, you know, rotate it. Don't make it just one or anything like that, because there is no more just rivalry with any old Big East team, right? It's just, it was what it was. It was history. It was awesome. But it's not the same anymore. And so instead of just making it about one or two teams, I think that we should just make sure that, you know, we give the respect of, you know, playing one or two of those Big East teams and bringing back some old memories when it comes to that stuff, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, we have, like, in the ACC, maybe Syracuse just needs to rekindle, and it is there. Like, I feel it, me personally, I feel it when Syracuse plays Pitt or Syracuse plays Notre Dame. Those to me, are, like, very good, decent rivalry games. The Syracuse Pitt thing, you don't want to try to pull the thing out of nothing, but there is a rivalry there. I feel like the whole Prentice Hub Joe Girard thing out of Notre Dame is fun to watch, right? We've had some tough games with both of those teams, so you can take what you used to have and rekindle it in another conference. There's no doubt, because all those other teams already have what they've built before. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you can't build a rivalry in nine or 10 years with new teams right? So that's why we look at the Boston Colleges and we look at the Pittsburghs and the Notre Dames, right? But realistically, rivalries are made nowadays, especially they're made by just great games and great
it's
players.
It's competition. It's a little bit of competition mixed with a little bit of aggression.
Yeah, but there's so
aggression.
Much turnover dude, now, right?
Think, I know, and that's just it. Think about back in the day when, you know, you start watching Syracuse, Georgetown in the 80s, right? You know, you get fist fights. I mean, dude, it was so much more physical back then with so much less repercussions. It's so unacceptable now to be physical like that. But that's what I'm saying. That's what causes it. You hate somebody. Like, Georgetown hated Syracuse. They hated Pearl Washington. And we hated Patrick Ewing. Alonzo Mourning. We hated all those guys.
But I think that rivalries now, old rivalries, are carried by fans. And
yeah, but
I
those fans like, are old. Like us.
But, well, yes. But, you know, you still have North Carolina Duke that's going to be carried on through that's fans, just, right? Because of the lore. But at the end of the day,
that's
talk about
different.
The actual teams, right? Like, starting next year, right? You're going to have John Shire coaching against, what's his name? Herbert Davis, right? Hubert Davis, right? And you're going to have a brand new Duke team. You're not going to have a brand new North Carolina team, but you're going to have very few.
And Hubert
Duke
Davis
players.
Did a fantastic job, by the way, with that team, obviously.
And you're going to have majority of the North Carolina guys back, right? But then you're going to have all these Duke guys back,
I think,
right?
Baycott is coming back. Is this guy ever going to go anywhere?
North Carolina's like whole team is coming back. But my whole point is that imagine back in the 80s when you have Boeheim and John Thompson. You've coached 10, 12, 15 years against each other. And back then, people came in. You're playing for 3 or 4 years, and you're playing at least 2-3 times a year. So imagine these same players – and the same coaches
just
playing each other 4 years, and they could have played each other possibly as much as up to 10 to 12 times. That right there is what makes rivalries. That's where you get the punches and the this and that, because you played somebody enough to actually have him annoy you to the point or piss you off to the point where you hate them. Nowadays, it's one or two one or two or three games before there's a whole roster turnover. Well, there's this, there's that.
Yes.
I mean, that's what it is. All you get now is like fans like, oh, is Buddy coming? Oh, Joe Girard, he's been there. Trevor Cooney, he's been there for 8 years. Oh, this is like, you just have fans that are like, eh, but they don't hate him. It's just some guy that's just been around for a long time. If you're a really good player, you're only there for 1 or 2 years, and then that's it. The rivalries were made because even Patrick Ewing played 4 years.
Yeah, they all. I mean, Billy Owens didn't, I don't think, but, you know,
most
of those guys did back then.
Imagine how frustrated and pissed off you get playing against Patrick Ewing for 8 to 10 games throughout four years.
You just developed, it's a developed thing, and that's what I'm saying. Yes. And also, they were both really good freaking teams. Mm-hmm. Like, they were always good.
You're actually playing for something, too.
Yes, not trying to be negative here, but it's kind of, we've kind of been in a slump, and we've pulled out some tough games, but to Joe's point with...
Not against Georgetown.
But to Joe's point with the turnover, it's just a different game these days, and I just feel like the only way... And, like, look, you know, you can't have a rivalry with Duke when every time you play him, they beat us by 20 points. I mean, it's just, that's just not a rivalry to me. That's just frustration. That's just the day I dread, okay? We've had some really good games with Duke, but as of late, it's not been great, okay? So, you know, I like the Syracuse Pitt. I like the Syracuse Notre Dame. And that's, you know, Syracuse Boston College is, to me. It always has been, except for if it was football, right? So I just feel like that, you know, you could build something, but going into our eighth year, being in the ACC, it's difficult. You're the redheaded stepchild. Syracuse is definitely the redheaded stepchild of the ACC. A rivalry isn't something that you force. It's not something fans make. It's something that players make. It's something that the game makes. And it's just a different game. You know, when you talk about Duke UNC, like Joe said, it's the lore. You know, these teams are like, what, one... I can't remember what the record is, but they're like separated by like one game and like 5 points, right?
Yeah.
So that is a rivalry, okay? We look at college basketball, and you don't have anything close to that. And I hate to say it, but you probably never will. And that's,
I think those days are over.
Yes. And that most of that was created through those days that we're talking about, but you're looking at blue chip schools in those times when Krzyzewski took over and built what he built and obviously did a fantastic job. But you're looking at a whole different level of play with that. And really what we want is just something to talk some trash about and have some fun with.
Cling on to, right?
Yes. So for me, it's Syracuse, Pitt, Syracuse, Notre Dame, I feel like are really good games. Syracuse, Duke will be fun when Syracuse can pull off an upset. I mean, the Syracuse upset at Duke, when Duke was ranked number one, and they had never lost to an unranked team ever. That game, when Syracuse won that game as an unranked team going into the Cameron Indoor, playing number one Duke and beating them,
does
not create a rivalry, but that does create an amazing moment, and a moment you can rub salt into the wounds of Duke fans forever, because the likelihood of that ever happening again is slim to none.
Yeah. And then they kick your ass the next three or four games. That's not a rivalry.
Exactly. So, exactly.
And get your popcorn because there's going to be more change to come. There's going to be a lot more change in the future. And another thing about Georgetown, really, like the back and forth, like, I'm sorry, but like, I want a rivalry where I want to go to that game, right? I want to go to that home game. I want to go to that away game. I want to be able to feel like both sides. Like, again, like you said, we're never going to get that. But I mean, even with Georgetown, like, I'm not going to DC to watch a game. I'm probably never going to step foot in the city of Washington, DC. So at the end of the day,
yeah, I'm good.
I think it's over.
What's gas in DC?
What's that?
What's gas in DC? $8 a gallon.
No, they all drive electric cars. So we're not.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. So, yeah, I think it's dead, man. I think it's dead, and I think a lot of rivalries are dead unless it's, you're talking about the lore of other team, you know, the Texas-Oklahoma.
It's just nostalgia at this football. Point.
Yeah, anything for us, yes, yeah. Because we happened to have to have moved. We had to make a strategic move for football and basketball and for money, obviously.
For money, it's always comes down to money,
ACC,
sure.
To go to the ACC, right? Yeah, I mean, I just put the other two there first, but we all know it's about the dollars.
Yes.
And we in doing that, we killed some basketball rivalries. We probably killed all the rivalries that we have. But we got more money, and we're in a better football conference, right? So
there's that. Yeah. It's been,
look, it was going to get blown up one way or another, you know? So we had to figure it out. Otherwise, we'd be in the Conference USA right now. So, or the American Athletic Conference.
Winning that shit.
Playing against Houston in South Florida. Sounds fun.
So, yeah, look, to what you just said, I love being in the ACC. I have no qualms at all with leaving the Big East and coming to the ACC. You know, here we are almost 8 years separated from it. I'm fine with it.
I think it's 9.
I thought it was 2014.
I think it was 2013.
Oh, you're right. You know, it's been 8 full years. So we're going into our 9th year. You're right. So I'm fine with it. I did have a problem with it at first, but I understood it. And I thought the opportunity was great. And the opportunity still is great. Because at the end of the day, I feel like that the ACC basketball conference is probably the best in the country and has been. And I also think that despite what people want to call a down year last year or even the year before, I feel like the ACC football conference is a conference that is on its way up in a number of different teams, and it's competitive and it's fun to watch. And there's also, you know, we forget about Louisville too, by the way, old Big East team, but that's another good one, by the way. But I just don't feel it. You know what I mean? Mm. You know what I mean?
Not yet, no.
But it's the ACC football conference is a great conference. I think we're in a good conference. I'm not worried about, you hear people, I want to go back to the Big East. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's okay. We have moved on. It's not going to happen. What we need to do is win. You know how you create rivalries?
Just win, baby.
You win. Okay? When you win, you put a target on your back, and you have people that want to beat you. And when people want to beat you, things get dicey, right?
Yep.
And that's why Duke is a rival, has a side
that's
rival.
That's when the magic happens,
with everybody.
Baby.
Exactly. That's why Duke has a side rival with every other damn team in the ACC, because everybody wants to beat Duke, and everybody hates Duke. So anyways, okay, Joe, let's wrap this thing up.
Let's do it.
Do you have any – look – I said, look, like 3 times in the past 30
I'm
seconds.
I'm looking right at you.
Buddy Jimmy Cole doing NBA workouts. I mean, this is good. Buddy killed it. Buddy killed it. What did you say? What was the stat you gave me?
Well, so, I mean, I watched. There was one game that he had. There was a little, I guess, like, there were some games before the combine to try to get to the invite to the combine. He had one game where he went off, had a really good game, didn't get an invite to the combine. But I guess there was rumors and some to-do on SportsIllustrated.com and Knicks page. They said he did a workout where he hit 71 of 80 threes, which is ridiculous, but I'm assuming they're unguarded. But again, that's still ridiculous. So
it's still ridiculous, yes.
Jimmy and Cole aren't going to get – aren't going to get drafted.
And if they don't, they can still do the NBA Summer League, right? And maybe get an invite later.
Possibly to the Summer League and then possibly get signed to the G League. And then if not, then overseas to make money. So I think they all have a future with professional basketball. It's just, I think Jimmy's overseas. I think Cole's most likely overseas, although I could see him possibly getting in the G League. Even Buddy, really. I mean, I think he's going to have good workouts, but if he gets drafted, I think it's just, and again, I don't want to say this, but I mean, he's had a great career, you know, and he continues every year. He's gotten better, I felt like. If you're a scout that looks at that and you see his shooting, I mean, I could see some teams that could see a particular use for him. So there might be, if anyone gets drafted, it would be Buddy in the second round. But if I had to guess, I'd say that none of them are going to be. And possibly all three might have a chance for summer league because of Jim Boeheim's name. I think he might be able to squeeze it in there. But I think the only person that realistically has a shot at getting a contract into the G League and playing for a team and possibly having an NBA career is Buddy. But it would only be, you know, most likely off the bench, 3-point shoot, you know.
In the G League?
3 points.
Okay. I mean, well, off the bench in the G League to shoot threes. Okay.
To begin with. All right, he's going to have to play man-to-man. That's it.
No, okay. Sorry. Well, I mean, by the way, Syracuse basketball is moving in that direction, I think. We talked about this. But we'll see what happens with that since you brought it up. But, you know, if Cole, let's say Cole does not make, doesn't get a contract overseas or in the G League, should he have stayed?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, obviously. That's a dumb question, right?
Absolutely. If he doesn't, then you know what? The tournament.
The TBD?
I don't even know.
Here we go.
Yeah, but still.
Of course he could. But, I mean,
I don't know if the draft is before that or not, though. I don't know when the draft is. True that.
No, it's after. It must be after.
I don't know.
Because that's July, dude. It's got to be after, right? Doesn't happen that quick, does it?
I don't know. Okay. Maybe it's energy. Well, I think it's energy.
As someone who does not watch the NBA, I have no place to even.
Well, you know what?
To even just speculate because I do not care.
I'm just happy that you're acknowledging the NBA is a league at this point. That's all.
Okay. Well, you got me. Touche. Yeah. Well, that was fun.
It was. I miss it.
I missed it too, Joe.
I miss it. Okay. We just don't.
It's just not a ton to talk about. And, you know, I have gotten some DMs. I have gotten some text messages and things like that. And, you know, the closer we get to the TBT, the more active we'll get. It's just waiting for some news. And there just hasn't been a ton. I feel like it's like COVID year all over again where, you know, I don't have time to create content. It has to be created for me so we can talk about it. And Joe and I try not to talk too much about any of this stuff before we come on here, which is what creates the show. So if there's not a ton to talk about, then there's not a whole lot going on and we just can't make stuff up, even though we kind of did today.
Yeah.
A little bit. But it was fun. It worked out. So, all right. We've got the TBT. We've got football hopefully closing in soon. Love to have Tyler on. Love to have James on. I know it's the same cast of characters, but it's fun and it works. And who knows? Maybe we'll try something different with the TBT this year, which would also be fun because, you know, we are the champs and we'll have to see what ends up happening with, you know, what kind of players they're bringing on and what's going on with that. If it's going to be where they're going outside of the bubble and grabbing other players, or if they're going to start this alumni thing again or what. But when they talk about it, we'll talk about it. So that's all I got to say about that. Look, appreciate all of you for tuning in and hanging out with us. I know it's been a while. We apologize. But we'll be back soon, hopefully. Again, spread the word. We'll talk to you later. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.